So as you can see from the title of my talk, I talk about a causal symbol. I'm going to give you a motivation, a construction. Well, I'll try. And some properties. Well, this is work done in collaboration with Daniele Oretti, and so in some sense you can think of this talk as complementary to his talk on Thursday. Okay, we're all tired and hungry and want to go home, so I'm going to keep it as short and as non-technical as possible. Plus, I mean, the things that I'm going to talk about are quite... things we're going to talk about are quite simple. Okay, almost trivial, in fact. So, I thought that the best motivation that I could give for this is actually show you, how did I... Oh. What's wrong with this thing? Yeah, that's better. Oh, yeah, that's much better. Okay. So I think the best motivation is actually the one which made me do this stuff. All right. So, as many of you know, relatively recently we obtained a rather good understanding of spin forms and of group quantum gravity in three dimensions. I mean, I'm talking about the work by Perez, Nui, Levine, Fidel. So they sort of managed to get rid of the infinities, rather to the symmetry. Matter has been coupled. You can obtain effective field theory. So we can really do a lot of calculations. And we can really start exploring things. Maybe we can take particles, scatter them with each other, and so on and so forth. Well, hopefully this will teach us something at least about the four-dimensional case. So, okay, on the other side, 3D gravity has been quantized in lots of different ways. I think Stephen Harlett once listed like 15 different ways. Okay, and in many of these other quantizations, there is a very interesting feature which arises, is that the point particles acquire non-trivial statistics. So if you take two particles and let one move around the other, you will not really get the same state back. You will get the same state back up to a non-trivial phase. So, and you can see that in the spin form picture, this braiding operator is also non-trivial. I set out quite some time ago to calculate this phase in the 3D spin form context. Okay, and so, well, this is our setup. By the way, I'm going to stick to Euclidean in three dimensions, but a lot of stuff I'm going to say I will actually generalize without any difficulty to four dimensional Lorentzian. Okay, so this is a three manifold. We have like an initial slice, a second, final slice. You have two particles here and here. And nothing happens except that one particle goes around the other once. Okay? And the result of this has to be simply a phase. Nothing happens in the world. We returned to the initial condition. Very simple quantum mechanics shows you that this is a phase. So, when I calculated, this is a formula which I used to calculate it. It's really complicated, but you don't need to worry about it. You have to define triangulations and label the dual, label the dual faces by representations, assign this weight, multiply things, so on and so forth. And actually, the first time I thought about this problem, I was stupid enough to do this calculation. However, if you look at it for a minute, you'll realize that this whole thing, is in fact just a real number. Why? Because, simple. This guy is nothing but the dimension of the representation. This is the character of the representation. It's a real number, it's a ratio of 2.5. This is a Kronecker delta, and this is a Fitch symbol. And these symbols are also real numbers. So, something's wrong. We were expecting to get a phase, from many different points of view, and yet we're getting a real number. So I don't have time now to build the suspense here, and I'm going to give you a quick, plus you already saw the title of my talk. So my argument for this thing is that the Ponzano regime is an acausal model. Now, what do I mean by acausal? Because everybody, when people talk about causality, everybody thinks, everybody means something else. everything else is different. So what I mean by causality is you want to distinguish what came first, what came last. And my claim is that the Pansama Regi doesn't distinguish between sort of initial and final. It doesn't care what's the input and what's the output. In fact, what it does, it actually sums for any process you're trying to, for example, you're trying to compute using the Pansama Regi. You're not going to get the amplitude for the process only. You're going to get the amplitude for the process summed with the amplitude of the time reverse of that process. And if you buy this for a minute, it becomes very easy to understand why we got a real number there. Because if... right. So, the amplitude I was trying to compute is this one. However, Pansama Regi doesn't give me just this one. It adds, by itself, this one. And it's very easy to see that if the time reverse, so if the particle, if one particle moves around the other one, for example, clockwise, its time reverse is just obviously moves counterclockwise. And it's very easy to see that one gives you a phase, one gives you a complex conjugate of that phase, and the answer is going to be real. And, well, in fact, this is a general phenomenon. I could have put any Feynman sort of graph in there, I could put any sort of way of particles propagating. And I will always get this type of behavior. I will always get like the amplitude for any process, some with the amplitude for the time reverse of that process, with the complex conjugate weight. So how can we see this? Well, it's not very difficult. Something everybody knows, in fact. Okay. All right. So here is the Pansama Regi partition function again. It's like, I simplified it here. I just throw out the gauge fixing and the matter terms, and it's all relevant to what I'm going to say. So why people got interested to start with the Pansama Regi? Well, that's because in the 60s, Pansama and Regi showed that the 6J symbol, which is a bit of a block of the Pansama Regi function, actually approaches the Regi action. This is a long result. And so, the partition function, which is you can't see now, people argue that this is nothing but the sort of a definition of the gravitational partition function. However, it's not really true that the 6J symbol approaches the exponent of the Regi action. In fact, it approaches the cosine. I think this is quite well known. So, the Pansama Regi partition function is not really the gravity partition function. It doesn't really give you the gravity partition function. It gives you only the real part of it, automatically. Now I have to sort of explain to you why this happens, and, in case you just want this one, show you what to change. Because if you look at the derivation, I'm going to show you in a second, if you look at the derivation of the Pansama Regi model, you don't really put the cosine of the action there. You put really an exponent, but somehow, strangely, it just comes out that you have a cosine in the end. Now, again, no time to for building suspense, but the reason it does it is because Pansama Regi sums over both sides of the volume, so to speak, of the volume form. Now, before we go back to go to the discrete, let's stay in the continuum for a moment, and let's assume that indeed we do sum over both sides of the volume. Now, it's clear that if you switch the sign of the volume form, you switch the sign of the action, of the Einstein-Hilbert action, right? And if you switch this on Einstein-Hilbert action, you're going to get this term. Okay? On the other side, if you sum over both signs of the volume form, it's equivalent to actually summing over both orientations of space-time, because the orientation is nothing but the sign in front of the volume form. And summing over both orientations of space-time is equivalent to swapping initial and final. And the picture for this is obvious. Next obvious. Same thing. This is the thing. I switch orientation, the normal essentially switch. And yet another way of seeing why Pansama Regi sort of includes, in a sense, both sort of mixes initial and final, because if you do a Legendre transformation of the action, you'll see that the term, which is nothing but the lapse, times the Hamiltonian. So when you integrate, when people get the Pansama Regi, they usually integrate over all possible lapses. However, if you integrate over all possible lapses, this is essentially equivalent to saying that you don't know which state is the future of which. Right? You have to integrate over only positive lapses. This was argued long ago by Teitelbaum in the 80s. Okay, so let me show you. Okay, I'm going to show you, because we don't have much time, I'm going to show you at the same time what's the modification you have to do, and that in fact, in order to get the partition process for gravity, and you will see immediately that Ozone Raji doesn't really obey this. This is the derivation of the Ozone Raji model. Okay, CD, Euclidean. So this is the manifold, in the dimensional manifold, this is the action. E is then SC2, small SC2 is the algebra, SC2 the algebra. Yep, 5 minutes only. Ouch. Okay, it is FST faster. So E is an SC2 valued 1 form, F is an SC2 valued 2 form. We discretize it in the standard way by replacing the manifold with triangulation and dual. We discretize the E by sort of averaging it over the edges, and we get the SC2 the algebra element, which I parameterize by R3 vectors, because the algebra is R3. F is replaced by the Hamiltonian around the dual face. And, well, using a special map, I can parameterize it by the angle rotation and the sort of the axis rotation. So, the thing that you have to keep in mind, at every edge of the triangulation, I have a vector in R3, I have a unit vector, which gives me sort of the axis of rotation, and I have the angle rotation. And this is the discretized action. Okay? If you just plug those things upstairs, you just get x of n sine theta. Okay? That's very easy. Alright. So, as I claimed, today we'll see in a second that if you want ZGR, you want to integrate, I'm going to quantize the series in the past integrals. So, if you want to get the partition function of gravity, you just have to do these integrals the usual way, but restrict the volume to be positive. Okay, and the volume in this formulation is given by the term of the V. Okay, and this is a discretized theory. It's clear, because the volume is given by in terms of E, there has to be a restriction of the axis, because the axis came from the E. So, so now we have to identify where is the sign of the volume here. And this is a little obvious, I'm pretty sure that half of you probably already guessed it, but there is a direct argument, I can show you, from the discretization, and some continuity engagement bias argument, where is sort of the volume, but I'm going to give you just a very suggestive analogy. And, well, this is just an analogy. It's a formulation of Raji calculus due to these three people. And, sum over all hinges. It holds in any dimension. Sum over all hinges, volume of the hinge, sign. Well, this is, these signs are the same. So I think it's pretty obvious from here that you have to identify these two. So if you want to restrict the positive volumes, you have to restrict to positive x of n. Okay? So, well, it's clear that Ozone Raji doesn't do this. Ozone Raji, you integrate over all possible x's. Right? So, in that sense, you integrate over all, you sum over all possible volumes. Okay. Right, so, we're going to talk about you have to do this integral first. So this is a ZGR. All that I have to change is to enforce the restriction. That's very easy to do the integrals over the x's because the action, as far as the x variables are concerned, is factorized per edge. So I can just do the integrals one by one. So the result is t is a constant, epsilon is has been sent to zero. I just kept it there to make it more obvious that this is analogous to the Feynman. Okay, I'm not going to touch these guys. So, what are the properties of this model? One is clearly this guy is steeped around the classical configuration. This is exactly what we expect. Well, because if we have a path integral for gravity, we want the classical configurations to be the dominant ones. This is clearly the case with flat configurations. Flat configurations are the dominant ones. This is zero. Second, and the real part of this guy is exactly what you want. And here's an analogy with the particle.
So if you take the real part of this, you get exactly the Poisson-Riesz back. And this is a point particle case, final propagation for it. This is, you can think of it as a final propagation for the dual phase here. Okay. If you take the real part of this guy, it's a very simple exercise to see that this is nothing but the on-shell condition. And if you take the real part of this guy, you get this. And in fact, this comes from the same mass, because when you get this by integration over all proper times, you get this by integration over all possible lapses, you get this by integration over only half the proper times, and you get this by integration over only half the lapses. Okay, so third property. And the third property is quite unexpected in a sense. It's not migration dependent. And so in a sense, you can say that if you're really doing total gravity, in some sense, it has often degrees of freedom. Well, why? Well, because it's obvious, we're not really imposing the Hamiltonian constraint. Just like in the fine propagation for a particle, we're not really imposing the on-shell condition. And because we're not imposing the Hamiltonian constraint, we don't really cancel all the degrees of freedom, right? I mean, in order to show that there are no degrees of freedom in 3D gravity, you have to use all the constraints. So, and another way of seeing this is actually from the canonical. I don't have much time for this at all. So, but you can see directly from the canonical that, well, there is no way to write an evolution operator, which is gauge invariant and regularization independent, which is essentially triangulation independent in that context. How much time? Okay. The constant, but the last thing I want to say is constant C. It's a really weird thing. This constant, if you do it naively, it actually is infinity. Oh, well, we haven't seen anything. Yep. And this is due to a gauge symmetry, which I haven't taken into account. Well, this is it's given by a very simple formula. G's are unchanged, X's are shifted. Well, I mean, X is a three vector, so you can shift it by another three vector. With the condition that this vector is orthogonal to the N, which is sitting on the same edge. So, and you can see that this constant C, when you, if you compute it carefully using regularization and so on and so forth, you can see that in fact this is the area of a plane. And this is clearly a plane. This is the gauge orbits are these ones. The funny thing about the symmetry is, well, this doesn't have no continuous analog. Okay? Well, one quick way to see this is because, all the symmetries of VF are known, right? You can just run the Dirac algorithm and account for all the possible symmetries. Another way, if you write it this way, if you parameterize it in this form, you can see that it's sort of continuum analog is this one. Okay? And however, note that E is a one form. This guy has to be a one form, but F is a two form. So phi has to be a minus one form, essentially. I have no idea how to do that. Okay, and this symmetry, and why it has gone unnoticed for a long time, because it doesn't affect the a-causal model at all. And this makes sense, because if the symmetry does not have a continuum limit, it should not appear in the a-causal model, because a-causal model is essentially a continuum theory. Right? It's topological, it doesn't matter how much you don't lose anything by discretizing. Okay, all right. Actually, I want to say one thing. It's not really true that people didn't notice it. If there is a paper by Kawamoto, Sato, I think, and Nielsen, where they thought they gauge fixed something called the translation symmetry, but in fact they fixed this one. They confused the two. And you can see this actually. There is one argument. You can see that they in fact did indeed this one, because if you look at the final answer, in fact this was on the register, the usual one. There's no. Okay, I'm finishing. I see it. The crowd is getting very nervous there. And, okay, so I just thought, well, I've given you a model, I've given you the motivations, and what should we recommend to the drama? Well, there are two things. One very relatively little, the second one relatively big. Actually, the second one's quite big. And, well, you see, when I restricted the integration over only the expense, I essentially put a sharp cutoff. I had a step function there. Now, can you just put it something different, like an exponential cutoff or something else? Why? Because it seems that this sharpness actually causes certain divergences, which I have no time to show at all. And second, it makes it, if you expand the thing in characters, the I of the finite system of life, so if you expand it in characters, expansion coefficients are relatively complicated. Okay? Okay. And that also seems to come from the shortness of the couple. The second point, which is very important, is how do you get all this triangulation dependent? And the only way I know about it, this process is using a GFT. So the question is, what is the GFT that generates this type of spin form? And, starting from a completely different point of view, and completely different motivation and reasons, they nearly constructed a class of GFTs, which actually seems to address exactly these problems. First, there is an exponential couple, sort of, so to speak, of the negative volume, and second of all, it's obviously a GFT. So it solves the transition independent problem. Well, I stop here. What? You can, of course. Oh, sorry. Sure. Problem is transition simply becomes complicated here because the determinant is rather complicated. There is this paper by Laurent Fidel and Derek Labre where they actually gauge fixed symmetry. However, there they use the on-shell condition to show that the Fadeev force is actually equal to 1. Here it doesn't, not equal to 1. Now, however, it's a finite series. So in principle, you can do it. If you really want, so you can really do the condition. It just makes it more complicated. Mm-hmm. You're saying what? I haven't tried this. I think I said that you cannot really write. In your paper, actually, but you write like sort of AJ Chi J of the Hellonians, right? The constants are very simple. So all I have to do is use the constants which appear from here. Okay, but they are not nice at all. So in principle, I can tell you what it is. Okay. But it's not something nice.